Hey y'all, it's Jonathan. As many of you may already know, I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I specialize in past life regression, speaking with the higher self, and all types of healing. Emotional, psychological, and even physical healing can occur within just one session. Most hypnotherapists charge anywhere from $300 to $700 per session, and I believe that's just an astronomical price. I want to make it to where anybody can afford such a wonderful once-in-a-lifetime experience. For just $100, you could visit a past life, speak with your higher self, and experience a world you never thought existed. If you're interested or have any questions, please email me at cultofconspiracypodcast@yahoo.com. Welcome to the show. This is the Cult of Conspiracy, and my name's Jonathan.
I'm Jacob.
And today we have a very special guest, Vincent Field. How you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, fellas. Thanks for having me on the show.
Awesome. Absolutely, dude. I mean, I love what you talk about. You wrote a book on, if you want to describe it, go right ahead.
For sure, yeah. The book is about astral projection and lucid dreaming. And I share a lot of my experiences that I've had, in these altered states of consciousness and in other dimensions of reality. And, during the show today, I'd like to share a bunch of those experiences.
Absolutely, dude. Now, I'm super looking forward to that.
I wanted to ask you before we get started, because the title of your book, Astral Projection, you said lucid dreams as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So are you saying that the two are connected, or are you saying that a lucid dream is a completely separate thing from astral projection and out-of-body experiences?
They are similar. They have similarities, but there are also some differences.
Okay.
Basically, a lucid dream is when you become lucid during a dream, right? So you kind of like, you wake up in the dream and you're like, oh, I'm dreaming. I realize that I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, you can take control over the dream. You know, you can manifest any experience that you want to have. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But these experiences typically take place in a type of like subconsciously generated reality, similar to a dream. You know, a dream is basically, you know, your mind, your subconscious creating these scenarios. And the difference between that and an astral projection is that astral projection takes place in more of a consensus reality that exists beyond your own mind.
Hmm. Okay. So you're saying that you can get to the point of astral projection. I've heard through like meditation. I've even heard of taking substances to get you there as well. I don't know if that's a different type of experience. I don't know.
Yeah, so like mushrooms and stuff like that, like, I mean, the things that I see whenever I'm on mushrooms, it's almost relatable to what happens whenever I'm in the middle of a lucid dream, like a dream that I'm, aware that it's a dream.
Mm.
And those dreams, dude, those are my favorite. I don't get them very often, maybe like once a year or something like that. But whenever I'm in them, I'm like, I wanted to ask you this question. So... we're humans, so we have like animal instincts, right?
Mm.
And like we want to eat, we want to sleep, we want to drink, we want to fuck, you know, all that stuff, right?
Right.
Why is it that those animal instincts carry over into this realm? I'm curious, because if we don't have an actual physical body in this realm of lucid dreams and astral travel, why do we still have animal instincts? Because I feel like I do whenever I'm in a lucid dream.
Hmm.
Right. I feel like they're kind of like ingrained in our consciousness, you know, from, you know, a lifetime of, you know, that type of mental programming and that type of like behavioral programming, I guess. And, you know, maybe it even deals with like, you know, past lives.
Yes. There's a lot to past lives, dude. Now, I studied under Dolores Cannon's hypnotherapy, hypnosis with past life regression and speaking to the subconscious, higher self, whatever.
and that stuff, it's this stuff kind of really all goes hand in hand. I've done a few sessions here lately, and I can't really go into too much detail on what happened on the latest one, but this girl, like, she was trying to channel her higher self, but instead she channeled, like, her mom. And, like, her mom was coming through. It was very, very interesting. It's the first time that's ever happened. So anything, it's almost like anything really goes in this realm of thought, I guess. I'm not sure. What do you think that's all about, dude?
Yeah, well, it's pretty complex. It is very complex, actually. And, you know, it's hard to say, like, with a good degree of certainty, like, the nature of things. You know, after a lifetime of experience, I've kind of developed, you know, like a working theory of how things work. And so in the case that you just said, well, it could be possible that her mother is an aspect of her higher self. Mm.
That's true.
You know, because I mean, from my experience, I've experienced a higher self on multiple occasions. And, you know, just from, you know, what I know about what other out-of-body explorers and researchers and hypnotherapists have said about it, the higher self is basically like the totality of like a whole collection of different individual personalities, right? So like you're just one aspect of your higher self, and there could be like thousands of other like people all part of the same higher self. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. And, you know, a lot of people, the reason why, like, religion is, it's not as common these days as it maybe used to be. It used to be, like, almost everybody was religious in some type. And yeah, there's a lot of people that are just saying, oh, you know, they're asking for universe help, like universal help, source help. We'll say God and stuff like that. But really, I feel like the biggest issue is that so many people lack the understanding, or really, maybe it's just we don't really know what God is. You know what I'm saying? And maybe God is everything. You know, it says in the Bible that God is within you.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean? And if God is within you, then that means maybe the universal consciousness is within you. Is that kind of the same thing?
I mean, but that's also super cultural. You know what I mean? I mean, if you look at Mexico, they are the most, or at least second most Catholic country in the world, right?
Right.
You look at Ireland, the entire country, aside from the Protestant half, is pretty much Irish. Like, you don't have any, or at least you never hear of any atheist Irish. You never hear of any atheist Hispanics. No, you know what I mean? No. You just don't. America has definitely stepped away from religion, and everybody's looking for universal or different, and I hate to put it under the quotations of hippie shit, but you feel me, right? They're looking for that external thing. They're not looking within the confines of religion as we know it today.
I feel your vibe.
Ah, but like I said, that's kind of a new age concept in a lot of Western countries. Europe's got the same thing going on. Well, I mean, it depends. Ireland and Italy are still going to be Ireland and Italy. They're Catholic as fuck.
For sure, for sure. Vince, I'm curious as to what your understanding of, I mean, what do you think, if you had to put into words, what is God? Do you believe in God? Do you think that there's source? Is it just universal power, whatever? Like, what are your beliefs in that?
Yeah, certainly. I believe in God. During some of my, like, higher level out-of-body experiences, I've experienced what seemed like a connection with God. And you mentioned, like, the universal consciousness, you know, something like that, too. But, you know, some people think that we are gods. You know, I don't believe that. That hasn't been my experience. And I don't know. It doesn't seem very logical to me. But I do believe in God. I believe God is like a separate intelligent entity, like the ultimate, basically. And I don't think we are God, but I think like we have that connection because like we come from God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so when you say God, are you talking about the God of Abraham, or do you have a different take on that?
Yeah. In general, I think the Christian concept of God is pretty accurate.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It makes the most sense. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, it's the most the most common, you know, kind of religious view, at least in this country. But I don't know, dude. I think that, you know, if I'm going to believe in a God, I mean, the Christian God makes the most sense if I'm going that way. But at the same time, you know, I look at it not, I guess my view of it is that maybe that kind of seems narrow, and maybe that's my own narrow-mindedness towards other people.
It's fair.
But I like to think that the word God is a much more broad topic, and it's not right. exactly described perfectly in any text.
I mean, that's true. You look at Horus was a god, right? Yeah, Zeus was a god. We don't have the name for the homeboy that made this whole thing. God is more of a job description, if you will. So that's just what we call him because we don't know his name.
Well, it's like the name you're not supposed to say or something like that.
Allegedly.
Like Voldemort.
Well, allegedly, the Jews believe that they have the actual name of God written somewhere in one of their like most ancient Torahs. But they feel like it is so holy, they don't say it. And even when they write it, they misspell it on purpose. They like flip a letter upside down or something.
Is it Yahweh?
That is Yahweh. What he said to call them later, but we're talking in the book of Genesis, man. We're talking when Adam had his big thing with God. We think, allegedly, the name is Elohim.
Ah,
allegedly. But then again, I'm probably butchering the pronunciation. I'm probably not even saying it right because it was told to me incorrectly. You know what I mean? I don't know because I don't speak Yiddish.
Yeah, but it's a tough language these days.
Yeah, but I still think it's cool that as a culture, man, the Jews... If you go to Jerusalem right now and order a cab, you're speaking the exact same language that Moses was speaking to the Hebrews when he was leading them out of Egypt. Snap. Their language and culture has not changed in 3,000 years.
Wow.
That is incredible.
Dude, I wish it was that same way. And honestly, like, I kind of wish we all spoke the same language. And the only reason why is because I want to be able to understand how other people think. Mm. I mean, sure, there's translators and translations and all that shit. But at the same time, like... Yeah, like I want to understand the deeper meaning because maybe other aspects of reality, other beliefs, I guess, maybe they have a way of kind of looking at it a little bit differently so where it connects a little bit more in our mind. I don't know. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far.
There's two universal languages that I've found. Math.
Yeah.
And soccer.
People love soccer, dude.
It doesn't matter what corner of the world, in what jungle, in what desert, wherever you are, 1 + 1 will equal 2.
Yeah.
No matter where you're at.
Yeah.
And if you see a group of kids anywhere drop a soccer ball in the middle of them, they all instinctively know what to do.
Hell yeah.
Those are two universal languages. I'm just saying.
It's a solid language. Although, right. So I want to ask you a little bit more about this astral travel or astral projection. Do you focus? Is there a difference between astral travel and astral projection?
Good question.
No, just different names for the same thing. Sure.
Okay, I thought so. So astral projection, let's just say that. Because that's kind of what it is. I mean, are you getting there through your sleep? Are you getting there through a meditation? How do you go about doing this?
It basically starts with a meditation. And the idea is that you want to get your body to fall asleep while your mind is still awake. And it seems like the astral projection process actually takes place automatically when we fall asleep, but we're usually just unaware of it. So if you keep your mind awake during that process, you basically go along, for the ride. And usually it involves a type of meditation just to get the body nice and calm and relaxed. And then, you allow it to fall asleep and usually do some type of meditation to keep your mind awake and aware as well.
Now, what kind of specific meditation practice do you use? Do you listen to a certain meditation frequency? I know I personally like to listen to 432 hertz. It's a little channel on YouTube that they do all those different kind of frequencies and stuff. I mean, what is your practice?
Man, I've used so many different methods over the years, and I actually, explain them in my book, and I basically, teach you how to do each one. But one of the most reliable for me is what I call like the early morning method. And yes. That's because your body and mind are pretty much in the ideal state to have an out of body experience in the early morning, say a couple hours before you normally wake up. Your body is still very relaxed, and it's usually pretty easy to fall back asleep. But your mind has already gotten some rest, you know. Whereas if you try it like before bed, well, sure, maybe your body can fall asleep pretty easily because it's exhausted, but so is your mind. So it's more difficult at that time to keep your mind awake. You know, in the early morning, sometimes it'll take me just a few seconds to get out of my body. Whereas if you do it at night, it could take half an hour to an hour if it even happens.
Okay, so you're getting into the theta state of mind is what's going on. That's like they got beta, alpha, theta, and delta are the four stages of consciousness. Theta, it only happens naturally twice a day, right before you're about to fall asleep. And as soon as you wake up, you got 1 foot in the real world, 1 foot in dream world. And so you're saying that state of mind, the theta state of mind, which is actually what kids all the way up until about age 7 are naturally in theta state of mind. That's why they learn so much like faster and wow. easier, why they can pick up on a whole language like in a week or some shit.
Yeah.
And that state of mind, it's like the learning mind because it's so much more opened. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have your left brain telling you that you can or can't do something. It's only the learning mind. Like no, but there is no no.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I learned anyway. So you're in now whenever you're, how do you know that your astral body is being detached from your physical body? Like when do you get that sense that it's actually happening?
Well, you experience it directly. So usually what happens is as the body starts to fall asleep, initially you'll feel like a deep heaviness kind of wash over your body, and it'll feel like you're paralyzed. Because what happens is when the body falls asleep, it becomes immobilized just as a natural mechanism, so you don't like act out your dreams with your body, you know what I mean? So you experience that, and then usually there's this feeling of just complete weightlessness, and there's this really intense sensation of vibrations. It's commonly what it's called. It's like your entire body is like it's vibrating or buzzing with this energy. And in the beginning, it's really intense. And you know, after years of practice, it gradually decreases to the point where now I don't really feel anything. It's more of a seamless, you know,
transition process. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So whenever you're doing this, is it kind of like fake it till you make it? Are you envisioning that you're doing it before you actually do it? Is that kind of what it's like? Like, do you have to almost pretend that you're already out of your body to experience this? Or are you going to know it, that it's happening?
There's no pretending, and there's no visualization required, really. It's just a matter of getting the mind and body in that sweet spot.
Wow. God, damn. Dude, I've tried it and it's, I mean, maybe I didn't stick with it long enough. Maybe I tried it one day and then I was like, man, this seems kind of hard. I do meditate frequently. I mean, I've gotten to a point, I'm pretty sure I did it, but I gotten to a point where I was meditating in my bedroom and I felt like I was able to astral project out of my body, but I was confined to my bedroom. If that makes sense. So like I was able to like walk around, and it's not even really like walking, it's like hovering around or some shit. But you're like, I felt like I was like looking down at my room almost like from the ceiling. It was a very strange feeling. How did you ever have any kind of mental blocks whenever you're doing this? Like maybe you were trying to go somewhere, but you didn't exactly get that to that place, or has it become like a seamless transition to be able to just go wherever you want in this astral projected state?
Oh yeah, that's really common, you know, in the beginning. I think for everyone, but for me, like, it's kind of like learning how to walk. You know, you got to learn how to operate in this new body, right? Because you're not in the physical body, you occupy a type of like energy body, you can call it the astral body. And so yeah, you kind of got to just figure it out. So yeah, in the beginning, sometimes it would be hard to move. like you would feel real sluggish and almost like something's like trying to pull you back into your body. And you got to kind of fight that force. And other times, you know, in the astral dimension, there's no like physical matter. So you can pass through anything there. Right. But we have this kind of like subconscious programming that I can't go through a wall. And sometimes that carries over into the out of body state. And that becomes a type of mental block too. So, you know, I figured out some tricks to overcome that. And eventually it stopped happening. But yeah, that's pretty common, especially in the beginning.
Wow, dude. I just find this all so fascinating. Like, are you able to find that whenever you're in this astral projected state, are you able to find that you can manipulate physical objects in a way, such as like if you want to go to a bookstore and knock like a book off the shelf, like are you able to send that energy or that frequency into that, like into the two different realms like that, like a ghost?
I think that's a common misconception, because what's happening is when you project from your body, you enter a completely different dimension from, you know, the physical world. So there's no interaction with the physical world. You know, if you're in any particular astral dimension, then that will be the reality that you can affect.
I see. Well, only reason I ask is, so they have like these government programs where there is, I can't remember the term of it. It's going to piss me off until I remember what it's called, but they have these like government spy programs where these people are just literally sitting in a room and they'll be able to find, you know, Bin Laden somewhere just by thought, basically.
Oh. They remote made the viewing. Movie, the men that stare at goats over that.
Yes,
shit.
Yes. Yeah. Have you experienced something like that to where you feel like you could be spying on somebody or anything like that if you wanted to, like, you know, for a good purpose?
Only for a good purpose, though. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That'd be creepy.
Don't be staring at chicks getting naked or anything.
Oh, my God.
you know, I've been in situations where I see people and they appear to be functioning like normally, you know, in the real world. But I'm pretty sure I wasn't actually perceiving the physical dimension. You know what I mean?
Huh.
So this type of projection you're talking about, I believe it's commonly called remote viewing.
Remote viewing, and this, damn. Mm-hmm.
And this is more of a mental projection. It's basically like just your mind, which is kind of reaching out beyond your body. And, you know, I guess it's possible that in this type of projection, you can perceive the physical world. But that's a little different from astral projection.
Okay. I kind of figured that they were maybe similar a little bit, but not exactly. Man, this stuff is so freaking cool, dude. Like I wonder, I guess my main reason for asking that is that I'm sure that there's a lot of naysayers that don't believe in this kind of stuff. And the best way to be able to get somebody to believe it before they even get to trying it is to be able to prove it somehow in the physical world. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm.
Like, is this, because I'm sure a lot of people just look at this, they're like, oh yeah, rah, rah. It's not like, you know, they're probably just having fun in a dream or some shit. But dude, in my opinion, like, dreams aren't just a figment of my imagination.
Hmm.
Like, they're like, there's something going on there. Like, why do I dream about things that I've never even thought of? Why do I dream about places that I've never been to or even seen in a movie or something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that all about? I don't think that my mind, how could my mind possibly make something up that I've never experienced? No. How is that possible? And so, are we talking about, are we picking up on some past lives? Are we talking about parallel dimensions? Are we talking about going to another realm where all this shit's happening? So this is why I'm so fascinated with astral projection, because maybe that could answer some of those questions, you know?
Yeah, I definitely believe, and I have experience that indicates that at least some of the dreams that we remember may actually be astral projections. I believe that dreams take place in a type of non-physical reality. So you can consider the astral dimension to be a non-physical reality. You know, it exists beyond the physical dimension. And, you know, the same with dreams. I believe it is a type of reality. It's not just in your head, you know. And, you know, you can actually transition a lucid dream into an astral projection and vice versa. Whoa. And sometimes if you lose like a strong level of focus during an astral projection, it can devolve into a dream. So all of these states are connected, like they're connected through our consciousness. And I believe the difference is like where, like in this large spectrum of non-physical dimensions, these experiences take place.
Wow. Dude, I mean, that's just so crazy. I know that there's a lot of people that look heavily into certain topics, like maybe visiting specific realms or specific just places, right? There was a guest we had on, dude, a long time ago, like a year and a half ago, and he was like trying to specialize in this very specific thing. That scientist guy, damn, I can't remember his name. But anyway, I think that was just a me thing. But anyway, he was trying to specialize in meditation, astral projection, going to different realms, going to different levels, frequencies, whatever you want to call it. And he was trying to get to God, basically. And he was trying to find out answers spiritually. And so he believes that he entered into a realm where, you know, we had the what is it called? The reptilian channeler on. And he was kind of describing what happens in these realms where you see reptilians or you see cat people and shit like that. But anyway, this scientist guy, he said that he was able to talk to Thoth or Toth or whatever his.
Yeah, Toth.
He was able to talk to him. And a lot of people believe, I don't know, dude, maybe that is God. Maybe that's a portion of God. I don't know. Some people, you know, whether you believe in the Egyptian cultures and all that kind of shit. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that we could possibly astral project to these realms to find certain answers, such as like, what is it called? The library.
Library of Alexandria?
No, it's like.
Akashic.
Yeah, the Akashic Records. Do you think that you could possibly, if you set your mindset to it, you had the intention, could you go to this Akashic Records like and find out all the answers of everything that's ever happened?
I believe so. Yeah. Intention plays a big part in these experiences. And so when I leave my body and I want to meet someone, I want to learn something, I want to have a particular experience, I state that intention. And a lot of times that experience manifests simply from the intention. So yeah, I've never personally gone to the Akashic Records that I'm aware of, but I do believe that it's definitely possible. I know other astral explorers who have done that. So yeah, for sure.
So interesting, dude.
I've never heard of the Akashic Records.
It's supposedly like a library that is in another realm that has, it's like the history of everything.
Huh.
Of everything that's ever been said, every book that's ever been written, every philosophy, like it's like the record keeping of everything that's ever happened forever. I guess is the best way I can put it. Now, Vince, I want to hear about some of your experiences. You've had some good experiences, you've had some bad experiences. I mean, just you can just start with whatever one you want to start with.
Okay, sure. I'll start from the beginning. Almost immediately, I started having these encounters with different paranormal types of entities. And one of the first ones was a shadow being or a shadow person. So what happened was, I think it was my second astral projection ever. And I floated out of my body. And there's this huge dark figure standing next to me. And it was probably about 7 feet tall. And it was just like a dark silhouette, like a big shadow, like just standing there facing me. And this freaked me out. You know, at this time I was 14. I started this when I was 14 years old. So that's 22 years ago. And yeah, I was shocked. I was terrified. And it's interesting. When you experience some kind of like heightened negative emotional state, like, you know, you're afraid or something like that.
Fear.
There seems to be this type of like protection mechanism that causes you to re-enter your body instantly and automatically. So you don't have to like fly it back over to your body to escape whatever you're encountering. It just happens like automatically. So,
right. Yeah, because you're attached to a silver cord, right? Did you ever experience anything like that where your astral projected body is attached to like some kind of silver cord that is attached to like your physical body?
Man. I have one recollection of seeing something like that just once. And this is once out of 22 years of these experiences. And I don't know if it was kind of like my expectations causing me to like manifest that in my vision and it wasn't actually there. But for the most part, I never see anything like that.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Anyway, continue with the story. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I also wanted to ask you this, specifically because you said that you do worship the same God that I do. This dark shadow figure, do you think that this might have been a demon?
Yeah. I mean, what I believe a demon is a malevolent, non-physical or spiritual being that perhaps, you know, feeds off of like fear and negative emotions and things like that.
Sounds like you and I have similar definitions.
Sure. So yeah, this could definitely be that type of entity. And, you know, from hearing other people's experiences with these shadow beings, they seem to get off on scaring people when they leave their body. So yeah, it's definitely possible.
Yeah. Wow, dude. So these are, how did you get to a point where you found out that this shadow being was a negative entity? Was it giving you like heebie-jeebies or something? You know what I'm saying? Was it scaring the shit out of you just by it being there?
Its presence, right.
Mm-hmm. What was going on with that?
Well, when you're out of body, you can kind of pick up energy, right? And some entities radiate with a particular like quality of energy. And so these beings definitely had a bad vibe, that's for sure. And, you know, just the appearance too, like a big, dark, like, I don't know, type of monster almost. You know, it didn't look like a friendly being.
And now the naysayer or the skeptical person would say, is that entity maybe attached to you? Is it something that you're projecting as your astral projecting? Could this be a part of your spiritual self almost, do you think? Or is this something that was separate from you that you came in contact with?
Yeah, that's a good question. There is the theory that these shadow beings that are commonly encountered like in the moments just after leaving the body are actually manifestations of like your own fear. Hmm. But I've had so many experiences with entities like this that weren't manifested from my own emotions. And I know that because, you know, I'm well aware of my emotions and my intentions going into the experience. And, you know, it could be the case on some occasions, but yeah, I have a lot of experience that indicates that they are like independent entities.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that, you know, these things are separate from you. I mean, could be. So anyway, yeah, continue with the story. What ended up happening with that shadow being as you were in that situation?
Well, I was shot back into my body, and I had another out-of-body experience almost immediately. You know, I was back in my body, but I was still in that ideal state to project. And it happened pretty much automatically. You know, I floated out of my body again, and that sucker was right there, still there. Like, he was waiting for me.
Whoa.
And at that point I was like, all right, I had enough of this. And I, you know, I went back into my body, and I've experienced these beings, many times since then, mainly in the beginning. And, you know, sometimes they would just be standing there kind of looking at me, but other times they would come at me and, like, it would seem like they were trying to grab me. And I learned a way to kind of get rid of them. I basically would just ignore them. And what seemed to happen was that if I ignored them, I would shift to a dimension beyond that particular dimension where they are. And they would basically just leave my perception. And, you know, I guess I would go beyond. I believe that these beings typically exist in, like, the lowest dimension, the one, like, just slightly higher than the physical dimension. And, you know, there are so many dimensions above that, like layers and layers in a sense. So, you know, you can project, like, into any one of these. And that's what I would do. And eventually I would completely bypass that lower realm, and I just stopped encountering them altogether.
Yeah, because it's kind of like they say that they feed off of your negative energy. The devil does that. The demons do that. We've always heard things like that. And this is why, you know, like, whenever, like, kind of why this show was kind of brought on is because we're trying to fight off fear. We're trying to fight off, like, all this negativity. What's really going on behind the scenes? Why are they only, whenever we turn on a news channel, why are they only showing negative shit? Mm. Oh, well, this person, you know, 5'10" black male was shot somewhere, whatever. And it's always, every single day, we're constantly seeing these things, mm-hmm. whether it's school shootings or bombings or, you know, somebody, there was a Catholic priest that was stealing money from the church. It's always something negative. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Because bad news sells, man. They're feeding off our negative emotions.
Right, right. And so they found a way to tap into that. But first of all, why? Why do they want us in that constant state of fear? And that's exactly what you're bringing up right here, is because if it's constantly in your face, you're not going to forget about it, dude. You can't forget about it. It's like these entities, it's almost like the negative news is like negative entities that attach to your body and bring you down so that you stay in that same dimension so that you can't get away from it. You know what I'm saying? And
fear is also a great control tactic.
Right. I mean, fear and love are the two strongest emotions you can experience.
Right.
So, yeah, if they're going to keep you in a state of love, then, dude, we would all be living in bliss. Whereas this state of fear that they're always trying to get us, you know, we got World War III right around the corner. We got coronavirus. And then there's, like, all these fucking things that are just Debbie Downers the entire way.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing that we can do to try and get rid of them outside of figuring out what you can do on your own.
Right.
I know I said fingering.
Yeah, you did.
I'm Christ. Trying to say figuring. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, so this is why, you know, meditation, astral projection, I love this shit. Dude, lucid dreaming, I tell you what, dude, every time I have a lucid dream, I am so stoked to have one. Have you ever had one of those? You never became aware in a dream?
Every time I did, I would wake up. You have to keep in mind, I dream maybe twice a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're living the dream. That's what that means.
Is that what that means?
Yeah. So, all right. Damn, that's a kind of creepy way of looking at things. Do you have any more? I'm sure you have a boatload of stories that you can share. What can other people look forward to if they start practicing this this lucid dreaming astral projection?
All right, cult members. I got a question for y'all. Who wants better sex? Right? I know I do. The best way to get started is go to adamandeve.com right now. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off of just about any item, but that's not all. When you get one item, they will also send 3 bonus sexy items and 6 free movies. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority. Plus, free shipping on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly for free. That's 50% off of one item and 10 free gifts to boot. Bringing more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom, just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Could be an adventurous new toy, whatever, anything you desire. Just enter the offer code CULT at checkout and you will get 50% off any item plus 10 free gifts, 3 bonus items, 6 free movies, and a free shipping. Come on now. Just offer code CULT, that is CULT, C-U-L-T, at adamandeve.com. Now, this is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use the code CULT to get you not just the discount and the free goodies, but also the 100% free and discreet shipping with the code CULT, C-U-L-T, at adamandeve.com.
Well, you know, you can look forward to a lot of incredible, like, mind-blowing experiences. But, you know, it's kind of like the physical world. You know, you got the good and the bad. So, you know, you're bound to run into some nasty entities now and then. For a while, I was being, I want to say stalked. It was almost like they were stalking me by this group of aliens. I mean, they looked like aliens. Have you guys ever seen or read Whitley Strieber's book Communion?
Dude, I'm not. I shit you not. I never heard that name before 2 days ago. And this is the second time in as many names that I heard that name, Whitley Strieber. So yeah, I'm pretty, deals with, like alien phenomenon, UFOs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's, apparently like a lifetime, a lifelong, abductee. And, check out his book, the cover of his book. There is an image of an alien, and, that's almost exactly what these aliens looked like. You know, kind of like a big rectangular shape head with like big black slanted eyes and like, you know, small nose, small mouth, skinny body. And they had like a light orange skin color. And so what would happen was, I would be in the state where I was basically paralyzed, like stuck in my body. But at the same time, my consciousness was perceiving into the astral dimension. Cause what happens is like during the astral projection process, usually, your consciousness will shift beyond, the physical dimension before you actually separate and float out of your body. And so I would be in that state where, you know, I'm still in the space where my body is, but now I'm looking into the astral dimension. And there would be these aliens standing around me. And this would happen so often. And sometimes they would be bent over, like looking closely, like into my eyes. And they would just terrify me. Like I mentioned, like the negative vibes that I got from the shadow people. Well, this was like 100 times worse. Like if I ever encountered a legit demon out there, it was these beings.
Whoa.
And on occasions they would actually pull me out of my body. Like I wouldn't even be trying to have an out of body experience. I would just be like laying in bed meditating and I would feel them grabbing my ankles and they would start pushing and pulling back and forth, like kind of loosening me from my body, and they would pull me from my body.
Wow.
And on occasions, like I would feel pain like on my ankles where they would be grabbing me. And the next thing I knew, I'd be like kind of like traveling through like this long corridor or just like going to some other place. And I kind of like had no control over it. And I didn't intend to have the experience. It was like, they wanted me out of my body. And I always got this feeling like they had bad intentions.
Yeah.
So wow. Yeah, like, sure. Where did they take you down through this corridor? Like, where did you go to another place with that?
Well, I would usually stop the experience. So I would kind of like, I would force myself to go back into my body because I wasn't digging that at all. You know,
right.
You know, if I have an out of body experience, it's going to be because I want to have it. And, you know, I do it myself. and I just didn't trust these entities.
Dude, what do you think? Like, where do you think they were trying to take you? Like, if you have you thought about that more? Like, I would be scared shitless if that happened to me. Don't get me wrong, but my curiosity kills the cat for me every single time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be scared, but I'd be like, damn, what are they trying to do with me? Are they trying to abduct me? They're trying to probe my ass? Like, what's going on here? I mean, did they communicate with you in any kind of way? Were they sending any kind of intention your way that you could pick up on some brainwaves or something?
Yeah. You know, usually I would cut the experience short pretty quickly. But on a few occasions, it was like I just couldn't escape them. Like this one time, I had three back-to-back projections, and each time they would be there waiting for me. and so I would end the experience, and that I try again, you know, hoping like I can kind of project beyond where they are, and they were there every time. So I said, all right, let's just go with it. And on a couple of occasions, they communicated with me, and it was like, it was almost like a telepathic link opened between us. And on this one occasion, on two occasions, actually, they showed me some kind of technology that they have. This one time, they kind of like presented me with this technology that they use to kind of record all knowledge that is possessed by all living beings. And they showed it to me, and it was like this metallic ball. And it was pretty interesting, you know. And that time, I didn't really get that negative vibe that I usually get. On another occasion, they informed me that they have some kind of technology that tracks me, like a GPS type thing, but it doesn't track my physical body. They track my energy body, like my astral body. And, you know, when I thought about it afterwards, it kind of made sense, because they always seemed to know, like, just when I was leaving my body, because they'd be there waiting for me, you know? And, yeah, I've had other experiences with other groups of aliens. You know, they look different from this group that was basically stalking me. And these experiences were of a totally different nature. They were actually really positive, really like revelatory experiences. This one time I was out of my body, and this alien just appeared before me. and he kind of opened up this telepathic link between us, and it was like all of this knowledge and like all of these past experiences that were mine, but that I had forgotten, just like came to me. And I discovered, or in this experience, this is what I was informed of, that I'm living another life concurrent to this one in another dimension of reality, where I am a member of this alien species that was in front of me. This alien, I was like one of these aliens in another life. And I had this like really intense connection with that alien that was in front of me. And then the alien came up to me and just wrapped its arms around me. And it was like this explosion of bliss, like in my chest and like throughout my entire body. And it was such a ridiculously like intense and just a crazy experience.
Whoa, dude. That is, I don't even know what to do with that kind of information. You right. know what I'm saying? Like, are you, I guess my big question is, like, what
interdimensional twin flame shit, man?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going on. So whenever, in your opinion, whenever we die, is this where we go, to this astral dimension, like to the where it's just your energetic body, now that your physical body has died? Are you going to this place of just nothingness, but then also curious about where you can go kind of stuff? Like, or are we going up to a heavenly place or a hell place? Or like, is it up to our intention where we go? Or do you think that I've heard that people say, like, whenever you die, you have, you know, your other relatives that have passed on, they're kind of there waiting at your bed. There's been people that were in like hospital beds that they end up passing away. But right before they pass away, they say, oh, look, that's my Aunt Karen. Or look, there's my Uncle Bill. And they're waiting for me. I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's the craziest thing. Do you think that we're going to be escorted to wherever the next place is?
Yeah. What I've experienced is that where you go, not just when you die, but even just when you have an astral projection, is basically dependent on your own internal state of consciousness, your spiritual development, you know, your prevalent state of emotions and all of that stuff. Because like I said, there's a whole spectrum of non-physical dimensions. And so like on the lower end of the spectrum, you have dimensions that attract a lower state of energy. So like, you know, they say hell, you know, if you're a bad person, you go to hell. Well, if you think of a bad person, they do bad things. They probably have, you know, these negative emotional states and, you know, mental states, and their energy is most likely lower in terms of like its energetic resonance than a person who has lived like, you know, a righteous, wholesome, like godly life. You know, you can just feel it. Like when you're sad, you have a negative emotion, like you feel this like low negative energy. And when you're like elated, when you're happy, when you feel love, you literally feel like a higher state of energy. And so it kind of works like that. So, so I believe that when you die, you go to the dimensional level that is in resonance with your own personal energy. It's kind of like the law of attraction type deal. So, you know, I've heard similar things from people who have had near death experiences. So they actually died and, you know, were brought back to life. And they report similar things as well. But I think that when we die, you know, we go into these non-physical dimensions. And the idea is to kind of keep progressing higher and higher, like the higher states of love and, you know, kind of like wholeness, oneness. And I believe the higher self plays a role too. I've heard a certain near-death experiences where the person died and then they were suddenly like with their higher self, and they were with all of the other individuals, you can say, that are part of their higher selves. And they kind of experience these other people as like almost being like past lives. But it wasn't actually them having the life, but they were connected. So they shared the experience of all these other people, like at the level of the higher self, but it wasn't actually them, that personality, like having that life. And what they shared was that once all of the individuals that comprise the higher self have like gone through their lives, and I guess like the higher self feels like it's ready, then like collectively they move on to like a higher level of reality, like another system of reality. So like, you know, this physical world and this current system we're in, like we're here for a particular purpose, which I believe is to grow, evolve, like spiritually, you know? And so like, once we've done that, then we move on to even higher levels.
Absolutely, dude. I'm all about that.
And it's crazy that you say, like, or both of y'all are talking about how when people are about to die or when they die, what they see, what they experience, because that's also so, I've heard so many different stories. Some of them totally in line with that. Some of them, one of my buddies, as a matter of fact, he was pronounced dead like 6 different times from the time he took rounds in Afghanistan to the time he got to Germany and woke up. And he said he didn't see anything any of those 6 times.
Whoa.
Not a light, not an ancestor, not a, just black. Just everything went dark.
Now, I guess I want to kind of go deeper into that, because whenever he's saying it went black, was he consciously aware of the entire time that he was dead and seeing black until he came back to physical reality? Or was it just like, oh, I don't remember anything and there was nothing?
Well, from what he told me, pretty much he, you know, went black when he took the first couple of hits, I think. He was pronounced dead. They revived him. Cool. They get him on the he died a couple of different times on the chopper too. Like, his heart stopped beating. Like, he was pronounced dead, and then they fucking kept working and got him back. And then that lasted from the time he got hit, the whole plane, the whole chopper ride to the FOB, the whole time from the FOB, like, it's different times from there to Germany. And he remembers, like, waking up and then going back again. But, like, it wasn't like he was going in and out of his body through some sort of subconscious. We asked him, like, dude, did you even feel like you were dreaming? Did you, like, he's like, no, I went out. I got turned off and then got turned on again.
Like, there was no recollection of what happened in that time frame.
None whatsoever.
Damn. What do you make of that, Vince? Do you think that, like...
Now, I made the argument to him, like, maybe that's because it wasn't your time to die. You know what I mean? Maybe it wasn't your final checkout time. So you didn't see anything. And he's like, I don't know, dude. Been in and out 6 times. I think I know more about it than most. I'm like, that's fair. That's fair.
Damn. I mean, what do you think's going on with that, Vince? Do you think that, like, I mean, what's up with that?
Well, I think it it directly correlates with, I forget which one of you said, you only dream twice a year.
Or twice a day. Oh, yeah. I dream only, like, twice a year.
Twice a year, right. Okay, well, in reality, you dream every night. I mean, it's just like, it's a universal thing, right? But you don't remember your dreams.
I've heard that, and I'm not saying that's incorrect or anything. I'm saying if I am dreaming, it is a split second, and as soon as I open my eyes, it's gone.
Wow. So what do you think causes, like, people to remember certain dreams and then you don't remember other dreams? Is it something that we're eating, something that we're drinking, or is it mental exhaustion? I mean, what is it that some people can remember dreams, some people can't? Because, I mean, yeah, I know that I dream every night, but there's only, like, twice a week that I remember my dream. Like, I had a crazy dream last night. I was just telling Luisa about it. And I mean, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's just a flash, and then I'll be like, oh, shit, that was the dream, and then I forget what it was. It's like deja vu. Whenever you have deja vu, you're like, oh, my God, that's so crazy. I just had deja vu. And then, like, 5 seconds later, you can't remember what that deja vu was.
Right.
It's I don't get that. You know what I'm saying, Vince?
Right. Well, you know, there is a way. There are different ways that you can actually increase your dream recall.
Support for the Cult of Conspiracy is brought to you by Manscaped, who is best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CULT at manscaped.com.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you've ever had an issue and you nicked yourself while you were taking care of the below-the-waist grooming, I'm going to tell you now, Manscaped has got the tools to handle that job, man. You got to use the right tool for the job, especially a job as precious as this.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CULT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code CULT. Unlock your confidence. Always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
One point, I was remembering maybe 3 dreams a night. And then, you know, I started this practice of, you know, trying to lucid dream, but also trying to remember my dreams. And then I was remembering like 6 or 7 dreams every night.
Whoa.
And I realized, you know, I am having a lot more dreams that I remember. You know, I just wasn't remembering them. And, you know, to a person that doesn't remember the dreams, it's, I imagine it seems just like your friend who had that near-death experience, or, you know, who died and came back, you know, you fall asleep, you're out. And the next thing you know, you're awake and you don't remember anything that happens during that time in between. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that you know, kind of does make sense, because if there is such thing as past lives, I believe that there is. I believe that there is such thing as reincarnation. I mean, energy can't be created or destroyed, so it has to go somewhere. You know, we don't remember a lot of our past lives, if any, you know, unless you, you know, do a hypnotherapy kind of thing, or, you know, go into a meditation or something like that. But other than that, we're not aware of it. I believe that they all happened. Maybe they all happened thousands of times. I can't remember any of that shit, you know, on a daily basis. But there has been kids, you know, that you ask a 3 or 4 year old, they remember being a fucking Civil War general or some shit. Like, how could they possibly know that? How do they know, like, certain ranks of the military? They're 3 or 4 years old. There's no way they know that shit. Mm. They remember being in Germany or fucking Russia or somewhere, you know, not even fighting for the United States, but fighting for other countries even. And, like, what is that? Now, I don't think that these little kids are making this shit up. They're certainly tapping into something. So, yeah, I think that, like, there's some kind of veil. There's some kind of forgetful thing that happens to us, to where maybe we're not supposed to remember it. Maybe we can remember it if we try to remember it, you know, throughout certain practices or whatever. But maybe we're not supposed to learn it, because maybe if we knew all, like, the details of all those past lives, maybe it would steer our lives in a different way than what we are right now. Maybe you're the lesson that you're learning right now in this life is a lesson that you've been trying to figure out for the past 10 lives. That maybe it's just like you're trying to get through it, and I don't know, dude. There's so many things that could go into that, dude. I love talking about all this kind of stuff, Vince. I mean, everything astral projection, everything astral travel, meditation, hypnotherapy. Like, I like dealing with the conscious, the subconscious mind. I want to know the underlying details. Like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm just not built to have blind faith. I'm not built for that. I want to know. You know what I'm saying? I want to know it all. And I'm sure I never will, but I mean, hey, dude, the fucking path there is definitely fascinating, learning about all this stuff. Vince, if you would, dude, tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. check out my book on Amazon.com. The book is called Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions. And my name is Vincent Field. So, yeah, just search, you know, Astral Projection, Vincent Field on Amazon, and it'll pop right up.
Vincent Field. What a stud. I love that your last name is Field, because you're kind of like going into the astral field. Oh, you know, Lord. What I'm saying? That's what I thought of. The electric universe almost. Awesome. Great talking with you guys. If you want to be able to watch this video, you go to rockfin.com/cult and conspiracy. It's $10 a month. It gets every single thing that is banned off of YouTube. This shit wouldn't be allowed on YouTube. They want you watching ASMR videos or some dumb shit.
Still bothers me.
I don't like it, dude.
It's weird.
It creeps me out.
My wife loves it. I can't get behind them. I'm just listening to someone chew on shit. That's weird.
I don't want nothing to do with it. I want to get to the truth, not something that's just going to melt my brain.
Right.
All
right.
So you want to get to the truth, you go to rockfin.com/cultic conspiracy. You sign up. You would be helping your boys out there. Also, dude, we have merch. We have t-shirts. We have tank tops. We have all the cool things that you want to do to be able to rep this show.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
And dude, I saw there was somebody that bought a shirt. The shirts came out way better than I thought they would.
Yeah, they did.
Like, they are so graphically awesome.
They're good, man. They good shit.
So go over there. I actually have the link to everything. You'll be able to go to it's a link tree. You click on that. You click on that link. It takes you to everything Cult of Conspiracy, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Rockfin, Buy Me a Coffee. All that stuff is on there. Just click in the link below. Vince, it was a pleasure having you. Great talking with you. I hope people go out there and search you and find your book and buy it, because if they're as interested into this stuff as you are, then I'm sure they're going to love your book. And,
absolutely,
and I know that I will. So thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And there's one very important, extremely vital piece of information that we just need you to remember in order to do something that's just so damn important.
Mm.
We need you to open up that third eye.